It's time for Microbrew Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined in studio by my guy, Kurt Hoge, Milwaukee Brewers reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kurt, what have you been up to? I think it's kind of an infirmary up in here. Neither one of us at 100%. I know you've had it worse than I have. But what have you been up to now that the Brewers season is over? Have you been watching baseball, Kurt Hoge?
A lot of baseball.
Really?
Yeah. I always like that question to players. Like, did you watch the playoffs?
And what is the answer most of the time?
Usually no.
Oh, okay. They have a lot going on in their lives.
But that's like, I don't know, that seems kind of silly. I don't know. Maybe because, I mean, I guess I do work. It is my job, so I still like watching baseball. But maybe it's different. Like, maybe I don't want to watch journalism when I'm not doing journalism.
Yeah, I can.
That's not true. Remember, what was this movie, Spotlight?
Oh, yeah, won the Academy Award.
Yeah, we as a unit were insufferable for, like, months.
Because
there was a good movie about us.
There are so many good movies.
So
about
I don't journalism. Understand why when there's good baseball about baseball players, they don't want to watch.
Quick diversion about journalism movies. There are way too many people out there who think journalism is exciting or thrilling or maybe even like a lot of people make movies about journalism. I appreciate that. A lot of it, I think, is because people who write movies are writers and some of them have dabbled in journalism. But there's like a whole season of The Wire, for example, that digs in on journalism. But there is a movie coming out, Kurt, that I really want to see called September 5th. It is a...
Do you remember?
Yes. This is not a good remember of September because this is about the Munich Olympics, 1972, which ended in a horrible terrorist incident where several Israeli athletes were killed. And the movie is from the point of view of ABC Sports, which covered this event and kind of the decisions they had to make or whatever. It's not written word journalism, but it's broadcast news. Rune Arledge, played by Peter Sarsgaard, at the center of this. So that is coming up in a couple weeks. I'm very excited. I love journalism movies. But, you know, I think it's probably a little overblown how exciting the job
really
is.
No, but our jobs are awesome.
Oh, 100%. Yes, yes. Yeah. No doubt. Right. But yes. I would be interested to know players in general, because we assume they're baseball junkies because they committed themselves to baseball. Would they watch the World Series?
But they're not.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's okay. So I watched. Oh, I unplugged my phone there.
Oh, no.
I watched the Foul Territory stream of one of the Guardians Yankees games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember which one it was, but it was a good game. And. That was awesome because it was like Brent Rooker was on there. He loves baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Vinny Pasquantino, they like guys that love baseball, and some of their guests, you know, were in on it too. So like that's the stuff that's awesome to me is like it's not like these guys don't like baseball.
Of course they do.
When the games aren't going on or you know it's pregame or postgame and there's a game on the TV, you'll see guys just like sitting around like. That's one of the coolest parts of the job, actually,
yeah.
Is getting to stand there and watch baseball with baseball players.
Yeah, that is cool. I would say there's just as many players not paying attention, though.
Once your season's done, I think it's Cabo mode. It's checkout mode. And I guess maybe that's fair. Like, you want to still be playing. You don't want to watch those guys playing. But I don't know. I've always loved the baseball playoffs, and I love the World Series, and this one's a great matchup, but kind of a clunker. So
yeah, we could talk about the World Series, but let's actually not because the Dodgers are up 3-0 as we record this. By the time you hear this, it might be over. It might not. I don't really care. Either LA or New York is still going to win the World Series. It's not that exciting for for fans of a small market franchise. I'll say that for sure. The Dodgers.
Okay, what about this though?
Yeah.
Is there something to the Dodgers winning the World Series that could make the Brewers and Brewers fans feel like a justified outcome for a team that keeps getting a crack at it is finally breaking through. Good for them. I don't know. I mean, not good for them, but like you can see yourself in that position at some point.
Yeah, I see what you mean. This is literally a team, thanks to their, I mean, we could say their financial position, which contributes, but they also develop their players very well. They have gotten many bites of the apple, and they were not winning the World Series, and then they finally got one in the COVID year, and now they're on the cusp of another one. They're doing it without starting pitching, elite starting pitching. They're pitching five guys a game at minimum.
Right. What they're doing with Walker Buehler right now.
Yeah, exactly what the Brewers would do.
Is sort of like this is not the Walker Buehler we knew.
Right.
So, I mean, still, like, it's not apples to apples.
No, it is not.
They are a very, they build themselves in a very different way.
Walk on a different plane of existence,
yet,
Kurt.
Yet, those are the two teams from the National League, I guess along with the Braves, although the Braves missed it this year, that are there every year. So.
Well, the Braves are in the playoffs this year. They just were gassed and didn't
go very far.
Oh,
that's right. They were in the playoffs.
Yeah, they made it. They made it. Peruge.
I wonder if people think that way of the Brewers.
No.
Well, the Brewers were in the playoffs.
I think the people think of Brewers the way that we think of the Rays. Like, just always hovering around, and we're not even sure why, but it doesn't matter because they're never relevant.
I think
the postseason.
The Brewers should get... people always hold up the Rays as the, sort of the model. That's the Brewers at this point, right?
Yeah, they've maybe passed them a
now,
little bit.
Now, granted, the flip side of that is neither team's won Jack Diddley.
I mean, here, the fundamental difference for me has always been between the Rays and Brewers is that the Rays don't have a fan base. And the Brewers have this, like, dedicated, deep fan base that goes back, you know, not to the dawn of baseball, only to 1970, but it's way more than what the Rays have to work with. The Rays right now, unfortunately, don't even have a home stadium to work with. And it's this crazy, because of the hurricane, this is a crazy situation that they're facing. But they could kind of probably play in a minor league park and not miss a whole lot. I don't want to completely disparage them. They do have, obviously, some diehard supporters, and they're a well-run organization. But the Brewers are different in that regard. They have maybe a greater spotlight locally. I still don't know if anybody thinks of the Brewers in, say, New York as like, oh, yeah, that team that goes to the playoffs every year. I don't think people think that. I think that would be, it'd be like Cleveland. That's a team that maybe, or Minnesota. Yeah, they're always kind of good, but whatever. That's what I think.
Sure, yeah, yeah. That they should lose early in the playoffs, yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about on this episode. A couple things. One, I want to look back at our preseason predictions. We've been teasing that. We have a lot of fun with that. They were bad. Bad predictions. Also want to go over some of the successes and failures. Or failures might be too strong, but disappointments from the 2024 Brewers season. There were many. I think where we will start is with the BBWAA awards that we, Kurt, got to vote on. This is...
That's right.
Yes. We
we matter.
We matter. Let's talk about us. We did discuss movies about journalism. Now let's discuss our journalism to some very small degree. But we were able to choose things like the Brewers' Most Valuable Player, Most Valuable Pitcher, Brewers' Top Newcomer. That was not a hard one. The Brewers' Unsung Hero and the Brewers' Good Guy Award. We had some different responses, the two of us did, as to who we ended up choosing. Basically, you choose your top three. And then there's a number system. There are not many of us in the local chapter of the Baseball Writers Association of America. So, quite honestly, Kurt, we are a pretty big voting block, you and me.
That's right.
We could make some things
happen.
We
hold a lot of power. It feels like we live in Wyoming.
Yeah. I don't know how deeply... We don't need to go through each one, but here's who the winners were. We voted William Contreras, Most Valuable Player. Tobias Myers is the Most Valuable Pitcher. Outfielder Jackson Chourio is Brewers' Top Newcomer. Again, this one was not hard. Jared Koenig as the Brewers' Unsung Hero, left-handed reliever who had a tremendous season. And Willy Adames wins the Good Guy Award. These are not precisely what I chose. I had a couple guys flipped in a couple places. William Contreras as MVP, I think, is kind of, like, obvious, right?
Well, I mean, to me, it was a pretty clear choice, and I think you voted him as well.
I also voted for William Contreras.
There were people that were confused as to why it wasn't Willie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the heart and the soul of the team, sure. But also, William Contreras was better on offense, probably better on defense. Yeah, he was better on defense, too. I mean, he took a step back on defense, no doubt, but yeah. Willie's defense was detrimental at times. And he also played...
almost every game.
Almost as much as Willie.
Yeah, Willie obviously.
While catching. So, to me, it was a pretty cut and clear choice. I mean, Willie Adames was great this year, but and he got some votes. Like, there was only one.
Oh, Willie was my number two?
Only one that was unanimous. Yeah, Willie was my number two as well.
Yeah.
I went Chourio three.
William Contreras, for the first 2 months of the season, was, like, on an MVP track. He was incredible.
It felt like it was a quietly excellent year. Like, he was even better than last year. He should be top eight, top seven in MVP.
Started the All-Star game.
Which isn't, like, you know, I think coming into the year, if you would have said what's, like, the ultimate goal for his year, it's probably, like, top five in MVP, and he's right there. So, but it just, the thing with him is it feels like there's more left on the table still.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Pitcher of the Year is where we diverged a little bit. I did choose Freddy Peralta as my number one. Tobias Myers was my number two. I had a hard time with this. I thought this was really hard. I think partly at the end of the year, as good as Tobias Myers was, I think I felt it was more a success story relative to what you would have expected out of Tobias Myers. And Freddie is still the guy that I would have given the ball to in game one of a playoff series, the guy that the Brewers gave, you know, the game one ball to in a playoff series. I still think I would trust him just a little bit more, but totally splitting hairs here. I really think both of those guys could have.
Yeah, won. I think Tobias Meyer saved the entire pitching staff.
He filled a place where they had nobody to be when Robert Gasser was out, when Wade Miley got hurt. You know, they did suffer.
Junis
as well.
Joe Ross went down.
Yep. Like, they had plan A, B, C, D, and then they all fell through. They needed somebody to just come out of nowhere.
Plan E, Aaron Ashby, was terrible.
For sure. Somebody had to come out of nowhere, and somebody did. That was you're right. That was huge.
I mean, we voted on these after the playoffs. I might have voted Freddie at the end of the regular season.
Oh, did we vote after the playoffs? I guess we did.
I think so. I think it was after the season was done, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Tobias showing up big time in Game 3 certainly cements his amazing season. I do not have a problem with that. That makes perfect sense to me why he would win that award. Just a tremendous story for him. Top newcomer, I had Tobias number 2 behind Jackson Chourio. I thought that was kind of obvious. It would be Chourio, Myers, Ortiz. I don't know if there's another top 3 that
correct
that fits.
I would have to look back, but I might have left Tobias Myers off.
Oh,
because that might have been an accident. I don't know. I probably put him on there, yeah. But I don't remember what my 1-2-3 was. It was easily Chourio.
Unsung hero is one of those subjective things because, you know, Jared Koenig, I think, did get a lot of attention. I did have him number 2 on my list. I had Trevor McGill.
We had the same guy. First.
Yeah, Trevor McGill, both of us. I think McGill got a little unsung. I think people just sort of maybe took him for granted how surprising it was. This is not a guy who had a save in his career coming into the year.
I think in retrospect, yeah, for sure.
20 save guy?
20 saves. I mean, he didn't really maybe blew 1-2 maybe. And then even in a setup role, he was still excellent, like just fantastic.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, this award is sort of a
silly,
obscure one. Yeah.
Sure.
You can go any way you want.
It's kind of fun.
Basically saying who didn't get enough credit. And I feel like Trevor McGill maybe didn't get enough credit.
I think that might be right. That's kind of where I was going with that. Certainly Jared Koenig fits that bill too. Again, he was second on my list. And the Good Guy Award is, honestly, this is the most self-serving part of the program, where we choose the guy who's basically best with us, with the media. And Willy Adames won that award. And, you know, I don't know if there was another choice.
It was not unanimous, though.
Well, Tobias is fantastic. Tobias is fantastic. Blake Perkins is fantastic. There's several guys.
I put Perkins on there as well.
Yeah.
Who else did I have? I think I put Reese.
Yeah, Reese is great. There's
but Willy Adames was, you know, a parting gift from us to you.
Yes.
Congrats on an award you don't care about.
And now go get your bag because you're about to get paid.
Biggie bag.
Before we get into our maybe our disappointments and major successes from this year, what else? You know, there's some decisions I know coming up. Once the World Series ends, what is the timeline? What has to happen for the Milwaukee Brewers next?
5 days, I believe, from the day. I don't know when the clock starts. If it's the day after or like a day in between, but it's 5 days after the World Series ends in some capacity. Got to make your decisions on options.
Okay.
Player and club options. Mutual options, I believe, into that as well. But the Brewers have mutual options? Mutual options don't really exist. They're a figment of our imagination.
Is Frankie mutual? Frankie Montas? Might be. I don't know.
It might be mutual.
I'm glad we're researched and prepared.
It might be. Either way, there's like a $2 million buyout there.
Yeah.
And the cash with that has already been figured out with the Reds. Anyway, Colin Reyes is there at $5 million for next year. The Brewers hold that option. Obviously, if it was a player option, it would be declined because he could probably get more on the open market. That's an interesting decision for the Brewers because they have pitching, but they don't have a ton. You know, like they don't have a ton of big league pitching. Like a lot of their depth is kind of like DL Hall.
Yeah. You
know, Logan Henderson, Jacob Mizorowski, not super concrete ideas of like who it's going to be, but they do have the arms. And then there's also the Aaron Civale decision that might factor into this as well. He's ARB eligible for about $8 million. That's later down the road. So ultimately, I do think they pick up that Colin Ray option because it gives them some flexibility. Like you can put that contract and that arm in the back of your rotation and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also trade him if you need to, or if you want to, if there's something out there. I mean, maybe they ultimately just decide to let him walk. Like, he can get paid more somewhere else, and that would kind of be like, I don't want to say like doing the player a favor, because I think he really likes playing in Milwaukee, but this would be a chance for him to get paid. And, you know, if they say, okay, we don't really see a need for you here, they could decline that for sure, especially being a little cash strapped this offseason.
Yeah, and I do think they have options in terms of starting pitchers, much like they did last year. It's just that none of them scream obvious, you know, like they, now that you know Tobias Myers will probably be in the rotation to some degree. I do think Aaron Civale will be back. You know, like, what do they do with Aaron Ashby? Is he just a reliever now? Is Brandon Woodruff somebody that they're going to even remotely count on for starts early in the season? I don't know the answer to that. That's a very tricky one. So there's a few, you know, they could get Robert Gasser back by the end of the season. There's a few guys in there who could add to the picture. But Colin Ray, I don't know. That could go either way, for sure. That could go either way. What about, like, Jake Bowers? Is that due up as well? Is that a upcoming
arbitration?
Oh, okay, yeah, arbitration, yeah. He's ARB, yeah. So it's
yeah, different. We could get to those later on. Yeah. They do have some decisions there for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, let's look at the season in total. I was wondering what you thought, Kurt, the biggest success of this season was. Obviously, they made the playoffs, and that's. But I'm not talking about single season picture. I'm talking about the long term picture. I think I know the answer. I think it's fairly obvious, but I'm not sure. What would you put, you know, what would be your one and maybe like your top two or three things that really come away as a success?
What do you think I'm going to answer? Does it have to do with your Lord and Savior, JC?
Yes, it does.
That would be my answer, yeah. Is Jackson. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the year.
Okay.
On this podcast or some other podcast or multiple podcasts, I said the biggest thing for the Brewers this year, it will be a success if Jackson Churio plays in a way such as that you can see the way he went about his business, see the performance on the field and say, yeah, that guy's going to be really good. And I think, you know what?
That definitely
I think
happened.
We're there. Like, mm-hmm. The regular season was pretty incredible for him. The second half, you know, not the second half, the last 4 months were fantastic, one of the best hitters in baseball. And then to deliver in the moment the way he did in the playoffs, you're like, yeah, this guy's got it. So I think that's it. It's that simple.
I agree with you. I think it's the best rookie season in Brewers history, and they have had a couple of Rookie of the Year award winners. Sorry, Pat Listash and Devin Williams. Ryan Braun. Devin Williams had a very, very nice year.
Ryan Braun doesn't win Rookie of the Year in this climate.
I don't think he does. I mean, truthfully, Jackson Churio, if he was in the American League, would win Rookie of the Year pretty easily.
Easily.
I mean, I don't even know, what is it, Austin Wells, Colton Cowser? Like, who's even going to win it in the AL?
I don't know. That close of attention. Mason Miller's in there?
Yeah, but I don't think Mason Miller's in the running there.
No?
I don't know. In
any
event.
There's also that reliever in Cleveland that I was surprised, like, wasn't Kate Smith wasn't getting a ton of runs.
Yeah. The AL is in a situation where, like, a Bob Hamlin comes out and wins the award. This, in the NL, it's three
horses.
Hot shots.
Yeah, it's three of the better rookie seasons feel like we've had. In a while.
I agree.
Like, you don't usually have three legitimate candidates.
Like, could win in any other
year.
That
are true rookies.
Yeah. Jackson Merrill, Paul Skeens, Jackson Churio. Three incredible seasons. Churio's going to finish third. I don't really think that's in dispute, quite honestly. I think it's a choice between Merrill and Skeens for most people. And Churio's the runner-up behind those two guys. But still, in my opinion, the best rookie season in Brewers history. Really impressive stuff. I guess mine, if I had to say, if I had to run through other successes, certainly we just talked about Tobias Myers. I mean, again, somebody came out of nowhere, and not only did he come out of nowhere, but he wasn't like a cagey veteran that they signed on the fringes who had a career year, you know, like maybe Wade Miley could have been. This is a guy who could be here for a while. And I don't ultimately know if we can expect a replication of what he did this year.
Sure.
But he's a guy who is going to be in the rotation next year. I mean, it's not every day that a guy just, I mean, I don't want to say thin air because he's worked really hard and I don't want to make it sound pejorative that way, but like he really could not have been further off the radar to be somebody who contributed so mightily this year.
And you can't really put numbers on some of this stuff, but like the ability of a guy to just have it, to have that, like the Brewers just raved about his preparation, like his makeup all year long. Mm-hmm. And then you see how that all manifests itself in game three. Like, that's, to me, that's something too. It's the same with Churio. Like, you see this guy, it's like, oh yeah, he's kind of got that Ryan Braun sense to him at the plate. And Tobias Myers, that's different, but like, there's no question about the person that you have there as well. And that matters too, moving forward, if you're like expecting to, you know, pen someone into your rotation. So, Tobias Myers right up there. I mean, Pat Murphy?
Yeah, of course.
Like the Brewers.
I mean, that could have been, let's be honest, that could have been a disaster.
Ultimately, what we learned is that kind of the personnel group at the core of the Brewers is still on it. Like the group that they've kept together, which theoretically bodes well for, I mean, Pat Murphy's not going to be here forever, or, you know, other people are going to move on to other jobs, but like having a successful group of people in house, you can continue to, I don't know, promote within or whatever from that group. And so that matters too. I mean, you know, they no one expected this, as we will get to with our predictions.
Yeah, I think it would have been really easy. You know, we were able to talk about how managers maybe don't matter that much when Craig Counsell took the job with the Chicago Cubs. But I think it would have been easy for somebody, at least on the outside, and probably plenty of people on the inside, to be like, they're going to take a hit. They're going to go backwards a little bit because they no longer have the best manager in baseball, or at least in the National League. And we found out that there was really, in this case, short sample, no correlation whatsoever, because they won more games than they did with Craig Counsell last year. And Pat Murphy obviously seemed to, I mean, he's probably, I don't imagine he's not going to win Manager of the Year. It would stun me if he does not win Manager of the Year. And it was great. Just a really seamless transition. Now, what did you think of the coaching moves that the Brewers have made? Because one of the hitting coaches, Ozzie Timmons, is gone. They've had some adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, look, your manager gets a full year to evaluate his staff and figure out what he wants moving forward. And look, they haven't announced the rest of their coaching staff back yet. But I for sure thought it was noteworthy that they kept one of their two hitting coaches, but they also
added two more.
Added someone at the top as well. Yeah, they added two more, but you know, the guy that was the hitting coach is no longer the top hitting coach. Yeah, because you never have enough. Just add more. Just add about six of them. Yeah. Why not?
Al LaBeouf has been in this organization for a long time, so I know that everybody's familiar with him. So again, we're not talking about newcomers coming from outside the organization. Tyson, too, comes from inside the organization. Eric Tyson, right?
Eric Tyson.
So there's still some continuity here. A lot of these younger players have worked with these guys before.
Yeah, and these younger players, too, they've really loved working under Al LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. He's been a big help for a lot of the young players.
Couple of the other successes that I would point to off the beaten path, but the 2023 draft class is really, really good. It's filtering upward. We'll talk more about the minor league system next time we do a podcast. Unfortunately, the guy at the front, Brock Wilkin, my guy, we'll actually talk more about him in a minute. It hasn't been a great year for him, but this class is so deep and so effective and is going to start contributing at the big league level very, very soon. That's a real encouraging development for a team that has not had good drafts, quite honestly. They don't have a lot of guys coming from the draft. But that speaks to another thing that they're seemingly doing very well, and that's the Latin Academy, which seems to be bearing fruit. Starting with Jackson Churio, talked about Jesus Mate a little bit. He's on his way to being one of the best prospects in baseball. Yofiri Rodriguez is another guy. Like they are seeing guys filter up that they've not had before. So that's going to benefit them. I do think Christian Yelich's first half of the season before he got hurt was a wild success. You can obviously throw the second half on the disappointment side because he wasn't able to contribute, and you wonder just how good they could have been with him in there. And I don't know where I would put the additions of Savali and Montas, the trade acquisitions that happened before the trade deadline. You know, we talked about Frankie Montas probably not being worth the deal, not being the guy you would have really wanted with the ball in game two of the wild card series, even though it didn't ultimately burn them. And Savali, I think, by the end was okay. You know, maybe this is colored a little bit by how well he pitched in that brief stint in the playoffs. But, you know, I think he is a starting pitcher next year, at least as it stands now. And That's a bargain if you could come away with a guy who's going to be your starter, for a full season or half season plus what comes next. Let's get to the disappointments.
Yes.
We love this part.
Jesse Winker.
We are still smarting from the disappointment of 2023. What would you put number one on your list of things that went wrong this year?
Oh, man. Number one on the list of things that went wrong. Injuries is a cop-out. I think everyone deals with
everyone them. Has that. I don't think the Brewers were more hurt than any team, than the average team, I should say.
Sure, yeah. I mean, losing Yelich was a big deal, but
that was huge.
Teams lose players. It's just not having him for the playoffs at all is pretty dang tough.
Yeah.
But I would probably say Reese Hoskins.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's it.
Basically, any world in which he was opting into the contract this year, well, not any world, but most of those scenarios are probably a disappointment because it means he wasn't going to get that money on the open market probably.
Right.
Well, you know, who knows? Maybe he just really wanted to stay here and get $18 million next year. But either way, yeah, it was a below replacement level year for a guy you were paying $12 million to this year, $18 million next year, $32 million overall, $34 million, whatever it is, with an opt-out after that. So, yeah, Reese Hoskins.
I do think that's tough. He still hit 26 homers, which is fine, but that's...
Yeah, some of the surface numbers were still okay.
Yeah. I didn't say Bryce Terang and the successes. He, to me, and Christian Yelich are kind of a piece for different reasons. This first half was so good. Throw in the Gold Glove defense. He has obviously improved himself from what he was last year, which is, you know, barely playable as an offensive player. I mean, just not a guy who could do anything for you. That is not the case anymore. He is still a below average offensive player, and it's not really close. He's not really close to average when you take his in total 2024 season. So that's a disappointment that he fell so far off a cliff, even though we knew it was a best case scenario, what was happening in the first half when we were saying the man should be in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
By the end of the year, it's like,
there were a lot of those second halves.
Yeah.
Sal Frelick's second half was
ugly.
Pretty rough. Julio Ortiz's second half at offense was pretty rough. Like, he had a couple more flashes.
Yeah.
He actually hit for a little bit of power, like the, you know, Terang and Frelick did. Of course, Terang and Frelick really showed out in the playoffs. So,
well, and Garrett Mitchell, too, who had a really good year, but also missed 2 months of the season, 3 months of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, Garrett Mitchell, I feel like we might have a little more idea of, like, what he is now. But I still feel like we don't know how consistent it can be, you know, really, really how good he is or how good he – we know how good he is, how good he can be. But, like, what the chances are of, you know, him being able to sustain that and stay healthy. That's a big part of it, too. But I will say, like, for all the questions I've had about – Garrett Mitchell's offense and him being able to sustain it, he's like, what, 300, 400 at-bats into his career with really good numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's all – but like, that's the overall production. But within that, like, the strikeout rate's still high. He's running a high BABIP. But then again, like, you what did you want to see out of Garrett Mitchell in the big leagues? Probably it's like, tap into your raw power. And he has done that to a pretty decent degree. Like, he does damage on the baseball.
Yeah. And I mean, great defensive player.
Great guy
who can play
player,
center field. Yeah. He's a
solid base runner.
Yeah. I mean, he got thrown out a lot more than I think he should have, yeah. But still the speed. That's
the
part
speed,
of why
yeah.
the BABIP is so yeah. good because.
Yeah.
He,
it's not like Bryce Terang on
no,
the bases
no.
where you have speed plus like just elite stealing.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to give Terang credit for that. It really does turn out to be a pretty good year for Bryce Terang. Gold Glove caliber defense, just electric defense, good base running, contributed a lot to the success of this team. It ultimately doesn't look beautiful on the stat line, but it does look a lot better than last year. So
yeah, we're going into 2025 going, oh yeah, Bryce Terang is a starter until his time here is done.
Yeah.
Like, that is fairly significant.
I think in general what we're talking about is just this the freshmen, as we talked about them in 2023, you just didn't see a big step forward in 2024. Sal Frelick, certainly you feel good about him coming out of the season, but the season was really tough for him. You know, and then you go Joey Weimer, of course, who's no longer in the organization, who's traded for Frankie Montas, and, like, disappears in a whimper. Abner Uribe, if you want to throw him in the mix as
sure.
well, gets hurt, gets suspended, isn't effective anyway. Like, the guys that you needed to that young core that you thought would take a step forward in 2024, quite honestly, were mostly nowhere to be found. Really, Mitchell's the primary exception to that. So that's tough. That's a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, like, who delivered in the playoffs?
Well, that's right. Those guys.
And
Chris Durang had 5 hits in the playoffs.
That's 3 games, right?
Of course.
But
it does leave you with a good taste in your
it
mouth.
It does. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it probably isn't really indicative of a whole lot. But you do feel better seeing Garrett Mitchell do what he did and Bryce Terang hit a bunch of doubles and hit like 500 in the series and Sal Frelick, you know, send the place into pandemonium.
Incredible.
Which we should talk about this very briefly.
Okay.
Sal Frelick should swing harder.
Swing harder.
So Jack Stern.
It's so easy.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Did a story at Brewer Fanatic about basically saying Sal Frelick should swing harder. Here are the numbers to show it based on his bat speed. He beat me to it.
Yes, you were going to write this.
I texted him about that, and I said, you suck. this was on my list of things to do, but like...
General idea here is sacrifice some of that those strikeouts because he very rarely strikes out.
He didn't. It's not like Sal Frelick never swung hard. Like if you could put it around like 70 miles an hour on bat speed. Like when he did swing hard, the production was way better, and the whiff numbers not much worse.
Right.
So just do it.
Yeah.
You got to get up some of the contact. Some of maybe not even just necessarily like the contact percentage, but give up some of like the batting average and hit for some power.
Yeah.
It's not in there in like large quantities, but it's in there.
I think the bottom line is we do believe there's another level in there, that it's not just this is who he is. He can be a better player, and he will be in the starting lineup, I think, on opening day in 2024. Yeah. He's a Gold Glove finalist at right field, and that's legit.
If you think of that at bat, right? Jake Bowers just hits a home run to give the team the lead in a decisive game of the playoffs. The place is juiced up. You're juiced up. First pitch, if you're swinging, you're swinging hard.
You're hitting the hardest pitch you've ever hit in the big leagues.
And you hit a ball very hard. So, like, yes, do that.
It's incredible to me that when I think of 2024, I will think of Sal Frelick homering, a man who homered exactly twice during the regular season in back-to-back games in May, and that is what I'm going to think of. That was the moment in 2024. Bowers, too, but really, it's the Frelick homer.
It should have been the Frelick homer, yeah.
Alas. Other disappointments besides, of course, the fact that they didn't win that game, which we haven't talked about. That is, of course, the chief disappointment. We're assuming that already. I mentioned Abner Uribe. Freddy Peralta is an interesting one. Like, again, I just said I voted for him for Pitcher of the Year, but that's sort of a best of what's around situation. I think we saw this year, maybe definitively for me anyway, this is who he is. He's not going to take that leap forward. He is a fine major league pitcher. He's we just can't expect him to be more than what he is, which is inconsistent, a guy who's probably going to go five innings and be out. And, you know, sometimes he'll have one hit stuff, and sometimes he's just not. He's going to give up a ton of hits. And a lot of walks.
Yeah, the road to get to the final line was fairly rocky.
Yeah. I do think Aaron Ashby ends up in a good place, but that was a disappointment seeing him struggle so fiercely coming off that shoulder injury. If no other reason then, I know it's a completely different injury, but Brandon Woodruff, you're thinking, how is Brandon Woodruff going to be contributing as a starter this year when Aaron Ashby couldn't even stay on the big league roster until the very end of the season in limited relief spurts? Maybe that's just a bad omen in my mind. It's a different surgery or different, you know.
The timelines match up a little better for Woodruff.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Like, Ashby got to where he got at about, 16 months post-surgery, 15, 16?
Yeah.
Which for Woodruff lines up with the beginning of spring.
That's true. So that might be all right. I guess, like, one, you know, I said the 2023 draft is a success. 2024 draft is a disappointment. They did a similar format where they tried to reach big on guys in the middle of the first 10 rounds. They did not sign both of them. Chris Lavonis ends up going back to goes to college, and the Brewers end up missing out on sort of their home run pick of the draft. But, you know, it's obviously very early for the 2024 draft. It could work out great. It just didn't shape up quite like 2023 did. And, you know, the Yelich injury, I want to come back to that. Like, the season is so different if he doesn't run into this again, if he doesn't run into the back thing. And I think it's just a reminder that he's just never going to be 100% healthy. Even with the surgery cleaning this up a little bit, you just can't trust that Christian Yelich can give you a full season as great as he is, right? Even when he's dinged up.
Yeah, I mean, like, theoretically, you feel better about the health moving forward.
Do. Yes.
It's the production that comes back into question now, because we saw, I mean, like, ideally, right, healthy Yelich, we saw what he is. Mm-hmm. He's still elite. I just never know how people are going to come back from a back surgery. Like, there's legitimately big questions to look at in spring training. Just like, how hard is Brandon Woodruff throwing?
Right.
Little things like, what role is Aaron Ashby in it? But you know, how is Christian Yelich running? How is he swing? How does he look when he moves? Stuff like that, which we can actually get a pretty good idea of instead of, like, you know, looking at guys' performances and their numbers. We can see this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the other disappointment that I didn't mention is Devin Williams, not because he wasn't good when he was available, but he missed 4 months, not his fault, back fractures. And of course, he ends up giving up the big home run at the end. He was very good. Was very good when he was in there, and still an elite pitcher. Was a great addition to the bullpen. But again, it was tough to have to absorb that injury. Both he and Mitchell getting hurt right in spring training really, I think, put this team behind in a couple areas. All right, shall we do our look back at the predictions?
Oh, dear Lord.
Here we go. This is going to be fun. We grouped our predictions. We each made one in four categories. So 8 total predictions, one in each of 4 categories. It was likely, controversial, spicy, and insane. Controversial, I think, maybe I interpreted not necessarily as like abrasive, but just, you know, like a step up from likely. Like, I think people will fall on both sides. Spicy was, you know, something obviously a little bit more than controversial. And then insane was something that we didn't really believe, except I think you maybe did believe it. And we will get to your insane one because it's my favorite one. Let's start, Kurt. You'll be able to hear this. Start with the likely scenarios. Start with me here. I am going to start with Devin Williams getting traded at midseason. I think it just makes perfect sense. If it looks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck. The Brewers did the same thing with Josh Hader, of course, with a year plus remaining on his contract. The Brewers have healthy bullpen options at this point. They have Abner Uribe, who is a future closer. Several other guys who can do the job.
D.L. Hall.
D.L. Hall, maybe, is the closer, question mark. The next Josh Hader. So even though the Brewers took such an optical hit for trading Josh Hader,
They're gonna do it again.
Well, they showed this offseason that they are willing to do it again with Corbin Burns. Different circumstances, but still, it's going to make a lot of sense. So they did not trade Devin Williams. Some of this is explainable. I mean,
what we're learning about this is things change. Like, what we think is true changes very fast. Like, D.L. Hall suddenly is throwing 93, 94, and it's like, oh, you don't have an 80 fastball.
You're not the next Josh Hader. Yeah, that was
Devin Williams fractures. Really, what that prediction was from you was the Brewers will not be contenders at the deadline, and Devin Williams will not have missed the entire season to this point.
Yes, unfortunately.
So I'll give you a little bit of a pass.
Right, that one got derailed by circumstances outside of our control. I think they might have considered it, even because my point there, I edited these clips a little bit, so it's not like. It's not exactly word for word for everything we said, but all the spirit should be in there. What I ended up saying is even if they were in contention, they were going to trade Devin Williams, even if they were in first place. So I'd kind of double down on that in a way that I'm not sure would have come to pass. But I feel like they were going to pull a Josh Hader again. And, certainly they didn't. Devin Williams is still here. It's a question as to whether he will be here at the start of 2025. What do you think? Gun to your head, do you feel like 2025 spring training happens? Is Devin Williams a Brewer?
If I had to pick a side, I would say no, because this is just how they've operated.
Yeah. But
there's also a world in which it have like the bullpen is a strength, and they're honestly there's more cooks than they have room for in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, if the season began today, I would say Abner Uribe is not on the opening day roster, and there's other guys like that too. But it's probably going to be about $8 million, and that's not
nothing.
Terrible for a reliever.
Oh no, for an elite reliever.
But they also don't have a ton of room, and they could, you know, probably figure out the bullpen will still be really good, even if they don't have Devin Williams, and then allocate that money elsewhere, which is ultimately why I lead go to the they'll trade him.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't rule out that they don't.
All right, here's your likely prediction, Kurt.
I had Tyler Black as one of the team's 3 best hitters this year.
Interesting. Okay.
I think I'm going to tone it back to 5 best hitters.
Okay.
Because 3 best hitters would be – he jumps one of Christian Yelich, one of William Contreras, or Rhys Hoskins.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's spicy, actually, turns out, to say that. So I'm going to go 5 best hitters.
Okay.
By WRC Plus.
Well, that's not what happened.
No, it is not.
He was one of our favorites coming into the season. We really believed this was going to be the year of Tyler Black. He finally got his chance at the big league level pretty early in the season. 2 problems. One is he doesn't really have a home defensively. It's just not working out on the diamond for him, and that's a problem. And number 2, he also didn't hit. Those are 2 big problems.
One of my favorite parts of this year is Tyler Black constantly hitting like you'd get called up for a week, and then he'd hit like cleanup that whole week.
Yeah.
And then they would just send him back down.
I know. It was weird. He has only played in 18 games, 57 plate appearances, 49 at-bats. That's not enough to make a decision, of course, but 561 OPS, 59 OPS plus?
I mean, I'm not. I can't read into.
It's too small.
A sample. 50 plate appearance sample.
But what you can read into is how the Brewers treated him, which is to say they did. They do not view him as the first guy up if something goes wrong in their offense. And yeah. I don't think they will next year either, unfortunately.
I don't know, if the Brewers make a splash move somewhere where they'll trade from in their minor league depth, but he just doesn't really have a spot on next year's team as of now. And
right.
There's the defensive questions moving forward, and maybe, he still had a really good year at AAA.
Yeah, he did. You're right.
I'm sure the models will still really love him. Scouts aren't necessarily as sold maybe as the numbers are on him. But that was a miss. That was a miss. Did I say, was that likely?
Yeah, that was likely.
Oh, I think I...
We'll recalibrate. When we make our predictions in February this year, we'll recalibrate. We'll be smarter.
With how the last 2 years have gone for me, I think I'm going to spend significant amounts of time...
Toning it back.
Making sure... No, I'm not toning it back.
Oh, you're going the other direction.
I'm just grinding it even further to make sure I'm spot on.
All right.
Spending time in the lab, goggles on...
I wish I had predicted that Selfridge would hit a home run in the postseason at the beginning of the year. So, I would print a t-shirt at that point. I called it or something along those lines. All right, here we go. We go to controversial at this point. Here's the next one. Brewers are going to sign Matt Chapman. Well, I mean, he's going to have a price tag that comes down because we're late into the offseason. He doesn't have a home yet. I think they could sign him on a 1 or 2 year deal, and that would be perfect because Brock Wilkin is coming up through the ranks at some point. They need a bridge guy, and he is just sitting right there. And if they want this pitching staff to be able to survive with guys who can go 5 innings and then bullpen do the rest, you got to get another masher. And Matt Chapman does not project to be like a star by any means, but he's got the defense component enough that you would be happy with it if you're the Brewers. I think they're going to go get him.
Matt Chapman was a red savant ball king.
Yeah.
Even when the production wasn't there.
27 home runs, he would have been second on this team in homers. He was hitting in San Francisco.
He would have said he would have hit like 33 probably or something here.
Yeah.
No, you were right.
They should have done that.
You were correct about how they should have spent their money.
I don't think there was any chance of that happening. I mean, he was connected to San Francisco for a long time before he ultimately signed. I when you talk about a specific player, the things you don't know are pretty key. Like, does Matt Chapman want to play in Milwaukee? He may not. Do the Brewers think that, maybe the Brewers are willing to offer him, let's say $10 million a year. He's probably going to be able to get a little bit more in other bigger markets than these probably. I don't know. Ultimately, there's a lot of factors there. But if they had signed Matt Chapman, this is a much, much more likely team to win the World Series.
100%, and that's ultimately what it boils down to. It is difficult, we have to say, prognosticating how free agency goes. We've talked about this all the time.
Yeah.
It is not the magic bullet, but when you make the right calls, it's a lot closer to being said bullet.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joey Ortiz maybe doesn't start the year on the team, and Joey Ortiz really started out hot, so maybe you lose something there in the... the fallout, but I don't think so. I mean, I still think Julio Ortiz ends up as your backup shortstop.
A 5-win third baseman.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
But then we also thought the Rhys Hoskins signing made total sense, and it did. It was the right move for a market like Milwaukee to make, and it didn't.
Yeah. All right, let's see what you have for controversial.
Christian Yelich and or Wilson Contreras will not be on the Brewers this time next year.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's controversial because it makes some sense in my mind.
But I think the thought of it makes people
mad. The Contreras thing would be interesting. Like, he wouldn't be here because you just saw what Bobby Witt signed for and dollar bill, y'all. And it just you could see them already starting to move on.
Man, signing William Contreras to an extension would be a good move. It would be a good move. But I'm not sure it's going to happen since Yelich and Churio were already locked up. And this fellow named Jefferson Caro is coming up. So
that's true.
People would have a right to be mad if one of those two was gone next year. And that's why maybe it's controversial. It would be a controversial move. And I'm just going to say it's going to happen. I don't know why. I'm just going to say it.
Well, this is February, so there's still time for this to come true. So unfortunately, it's a little bit of an incomplete.
Yeah, a lot of ball left. But
don't think it's going to happen.
I feel like another miss by me.
Yeah. I still think it's true, though, that it would be nice if they could get Contreras to an extension. I just don't know if that's feasible at this point. I don't know what's going
to
happen there.
Yeah, this. I mean, this one needed Jefferson Caro to
not to play. Destroy his shoulder in the first game of the year.
A season. They will not be moving Contreras.
Right. Yeah. Caro, I think, is possibly a backup next year. I don't even think, though, because he lost this whole season.
Yeah, he's got to get some at-bats.
For sure. All right. We're into the spicy category. Let's see what we can find. Okay, my spicy one is that Brock Wilkin is going to hit a really important home run for this Brewers team this year. First round pick last year, third baseman. I think he's actually getting slept on a little bit by how great he was in the minors in his limited amount last year. Ton of confidence. That doesn't mean everything, but like just hearing him talk, watching him take batting practice. And look, I've been burned believing like, oh, that guy's a big leaguer. And then that guy, my favorite example is Logan Schaefer. I really thought Logan Schaefer was going to be special just by how it looked.
Me too.
Brock Wilkin looks to me on paper and in person like somebody who is going to be in the big leagues in a hurry. I think by the end of this year, he forces his way into Milwaukee. Well, that sure didn't happen. Now, again, did I think he was going to get hit in the face with a pitch, ergo derailing the vast majority of his season? No. But he did play a lot. He's just not close to the big leagues.
Brock Wilkin is the most interesting prospect to me right now.
Tell me.
Because, okay, so I just recently completed watching a ton of Brock Wilkin.
Okay.
And the power is still incredible. It's like, he could not do anything else, and you still be like, okay, if you played every day in the big leagues, you would hit 25.
Yeah.
The homers, maybe 30. But there's a hole in this, like, breaking balls from righty low and away is ultimate kryptonite. Like, he just doesn't, he can't really handle it right now.
Yeah.
The defense is actually better than I kind of expected going into it, like, but it's still not. Like great,
not big
it's not
ready.
Good, but it was like more passable at a double A level than I kind of figured when I started watching this. The plate discipline's okay, but he doesn't run, and ultimately, like then there's this big question of, oh yeah, he was hit in the face. How did that impact his season?
Right.
So it's not a great like his stock is not.
It's not up.
Not. It's really, yeah, it's nowhere, it's like not even on the graph right now.
Brewers did send him to the Arizona Fall League. He did hit a couple home runs, but again, like.
Strikeouts are concerning there.
Didn't see a big leap forward. So, I mean, I still think there's some talent in there. I just no longer believe that he's going to be the third base. I really thought at the beginning of 2024 that Brock Wilkin was the third baseman starting in 2025.
Well, remember how he did in spring training, too?
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, they're like, there was some, not huge swing changes, but a little bit like. He changed the setup a little as the year went on. I didn't like love the way it looked for him. Like he looked a little more rigid, less like he didn't move as well at the plate. So, yeah, there's all these are all the questions we have on him going into 2025, which is a big year. Like, does he repeat at Biloxi? Maybe. Luke Adams is probably also going to be in Biloxi, and he plays third base unless they move him to first base.
But and he's
also,
21.
Mike Bovey,
he's super young. Mike Bovey though is another one. Right? They have options.
Yeah.
Filtering up, I don't know if any of them really jump out at me as like that's the guy, like it did with Brock Wilkin, but
it's certainly not at a point where the Brewers know they have their future third baseman in Brock Wilkin, and that's a big question that needs to get figured out this year.
That's tough for you, boy. All right, here's your spicy take.
Wes Clark hits 10 homers this year.
I'm sorry, you mean with the big league team, right? The Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, Wes Clark. The greatest large Wes since your boy, Wes Helm.
Tell people about Wes Clark, because there's a really
actually,
healthy chunk of people who have no idea who Wes Clark is.
Yes.
Clark with an E.
An interesting draft profile when they took him, but really came into his own last year at AA Biloxi.
Just
when
mashed.
The power, he just mashed. 20-something homers at Biloxi, then he went to the Arizona Fall League and hit a bunch of homers again. And all the scouts you talk to now are like, yeah, the power is absolutely real. It's like Brock Wilkin level power.
Okay.
Maybe a tick below, but it's really good power. He gets to it in games. He elevates the baseball.
Does he have Keston here a level swing and miss?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I actually feel better about this than most of my other ones. There was just not an opportunity for him.
Nope.
He didn't hit well enough really at AAA to like force himself up, but he also wasn't terrible. Like he probably still hit a bunch of homers in Nashville.
Yeah.
He's Rule 5 eligible, and I don't know if the Brewers are going to protect him this offseason, because we talk about defensive questions. There's even more defensive questions, like where he plays. He's probably just a DH
Yeah, a guy who can maybe catch a little bit someday, but yeah. I don't think
But I
so.
Want to see Wes Clark somewhere in the bigs. And I think if he had gotten 150 plate appearances in Milwaukee this year, he absolutely hits 10 home runs.
Yeah, that was it. Was not I was not worried about him actually hitting. He hit 21 in the minors this year. So
maybe 200 plate appearances.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't. It was a question of opportunity that I didn't see coming, and sure enough, I was
too many
right.
too many first basemen on this team. They had already signed Reese. Yeah, they'd signed Hoskins by the time we did these.
Yes, let's go to the insane. I like this one. You actually go first on this one. Here it is.
But I'll be holding out for the Aaron Ashby potential realization
okay.
for the next 10 years.
Okay.
It's going to happen at some point, and it's going to happen, I think, this year. He will be one of the best 5 to 10 starters in the National League this year.
I think there's a whole year ahead here before Aaron Ashby, we even know for sure what he's going to be, what effectiveness level he's going to be, and I would definitely not put my money on effective. I would put my money on, you
know,
he
of that. Little faith.
I think it's an icing on the cake situation with Aaron Ashby.
He of little You have nothing to say. I mean, hey, you were dreaming big on an exciting,
man,
talented kid.
It was clearly we shot not for the moon. We shot for like Venus.
Yeah.
With a paper airplane. But man, that paper airplane has some wings.
It did.
We like this looked like just the absolute worst pick in human history, and now it's only one of the 10 worst picks in human history. Because he came back and was like, oh, he's nasty, nasty.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not good in the playoffs. It's the second time he has struggled in a playoff situation. And I think part of my issue, and I said it in that original podcast, like, even when he's healthy, he's erratic. Like, we don't know for sure that he's going to be good in the big league level.
Yeah.
And I think we saw, in fact, this year, I sort of reassured me that, no, he can be good. He can be really, really good. I do think it's as a reliever now. I mean, I don't.
Yeah. Well, Pat Murphy said at his season-ending Zoom that, seeing Ashby in his role and like how good the stuff was is tantalizing for like, oh, let's give him more innings.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think like at this point you just let it eat in the bullpen and you could have a really, really effective bullpen arm there for, you know, his contract's not that much.
No.
Like, they got a really team friendly deal. If like, you know, even if he didn't pan out, it wasn't going to cripple them or anything. So
yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know if he's a starter. I don't know. Like,
don't
can he get to what he got to in the bullpen, that 98, 99, with the nastiness? Like, can he get to that as a starter?
Yeah.
That we don't really know that because we aren't seeing the conversations that are had and seeing, like, how he's going about his training this offseason, too.
Right. All right, here's my insane. Not as exciting.
Is there any chance Mark Adonazio pursues selling this team? The only thing that would make me think that is, you know, is this thing that people like to refer to, which is he is investing in a soccer team. He's investing in the PGA Tour. He's part of a big consortium of owners. He's never lived here. He's not a Milwaukee guy, and many owners are not. They don't live in the city where they own their team. But we're kind of – it's possible that the asset goes down from here, you know, because of the TV deals being what they are, which is really up in the air, the team not performing as well as it has in recent years, just the general – feel good energy around him is not the same that it was 5-6 years ago, where I think people still really had faith in him. My thought would be maybe we start to hear some rumblings that it's at least possible.
Now, you rightly pointed out at the time that he's going to keep it in the family. So even if he quote unquote sells the team, it's really just transferring the team. So I did not have a very good insane take. I regret that one only because I think I could have come up with something more delicious than that. But, obviously, there's been no discussion that Mark Adonazio would move on from selling the team, at least not this point. I have a couple other tidbits, audio tidbits, if you want
okay.
to hear them. All right, let's see what we got here.
Not sure I do, but...
Who's going to be the best player? We did that last year, best hitter. William Contreras is the obvious, obvious answer, but maybe there's somebody else.
Yeah, can I be lame and say William Contreras?
Yeah, you can.
But if I'm not going to say Contreras, I'm going to say Jackson Chourio.
Oh, that's interesting. I would definitely not go
plus,
there.
Plus defense at... premium positions. So
yeah.
If he hits.
I think Yelich again. I think it's another good year for Yelich. Yeah. I really believe in the little bit of turnaround. I mean, there's a ceiling to how high this goes, of course, but that's it.
Okay,
we're good.
Okay, so we got one thing right by saying the good players will be good. Yeah. That was awesome.
That should have been our likely take. We really went out on a limb with that. Yes, we did not miss on those particular
ones. Yeah, what was I doing with my likely take? That
I don't know.
That wasn't likely.
It was a reach. I think maybe you just thought that was the tamest of the four. I don't know. Anyway.
Sure, yeah. We went for spice.
Here's what else I got.
The reliever, Hoomst, is not going to be on the opening day roster, who ends up having a Trevor McGill-type impact.
Yeah, look at Elvis Peguero, we could say, because
he was not on the opening day,
He wasn't.
No. Brian Hudson is my answer. Thanks for asking.
I knew that's where you were going.
Clayton Andrews for you?
No. I am super pumped to see what Abner Uribe does this year. He had a crazy good rookie showing. He had an ERA under 2 when it was all said and done, so really interested to see what he brings to the table this year, because he could go to the All-Star game, Kurt. I could see that happening. He could be the new Devin Williams.
That would have been a good take from you.
Yeah, I should have done that. Dang it, I should have done that. Oh, I didn't think about it. Abner Uribe All-Star. So that didn't work for me.
well, in fairness to you, you were excited to see what Abner Uribe did last year.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, did he do some things.
He continued to be must-watch TV. But you, sir, nailed it on Brian Hudson as the reliever to make a jump. And wow, did he ever. What a year.
Yeah, I've decided I'm spending my entire spring training next year just talking about obscure relievers.
Mm, good idea.
Like,
because eventually we'll have a clip to say, oh, yeah. Kurt talked about this obscure reliever who's now leading the league in steps.
I did not talk to Jared Koenig once in spring. That's probably not – like that can't happen again. I cannot let that happen again.
Well, so
– there's like 60 dudes in the room, so it's difficult, right? But I can't let that happen again.
It's confession time, Kurt. I know that whenever a guy gets called up, you're going to know his name because you were at spring training and you know who some of the guys are on the backfields and you are familiar with the rosters at Nashville. And I know who the prospects are and I know who many of the non-roster invitees are. There were two occasions this year where the Brewers called up a player and I had never heard their name. Well, one of them you're going to know.
Koenig.
Jared Koenig.
Herget.
No. Herget I knew. Next to Herget, I think, on the call-up list. It wasn't Anoli.
Corbin Martin?
No. James Meeker.
You didn't know James Meeker?
I didn't know.
He had been
James
in the
Meeker.
System for a while.
It was just not a name that had registered with me. I feel terrible about it in retrospect.
Okay. The real reason here that you didn't know that is because you are not let me put on my BBWA hat. You are not sitting down there in Maryvale watching the eighth inning of minor league games and James Meeker, you see him throw like 4 innings in big league camp.
James Meeker got done a little bit dirty. He only got to pitch 1 inning and I feel like he merited a little more, but whatever.
He ended up in Biloxi.
I mean,
that ultimately was like, we need to call up someone
for
coverage, and we need someone that we can DFA and will DFA.
This happens every year. You get guys like that who fit that description.
It's a bit of a, I don't know if it's a catch-22 or whatever you want to call it. But
do you think they called up Jared Koenig with that in mind? Like a guy that you could safely DFA?
No, because he was optionable.
Okay,
he was optional.
No, you're right.
But he was certainly just like on the bus,
right?
On the shuttle bus, but yeah, if you're James Meeker, like it's great. Like you are guaranteed to get time in the big leagues, and that comes with real benefits long term. But also, you know, you're going to get DFA'd if you get into a game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Or even if you don't, he was going to get DFA'd for our old friend Eliezer Hernandez.
Oh, jeez, there were some names on this team as there are every year. All right, one last nugget. Here we go.
And I think voters are kind of like slowly creeping back towards innings are sexy. Ooh, make a t-shirt. Let's make t-shirts.
Innings are sexy.
I'll give Colin Ray one.
He won't appreciate the joke. I don't think it is a joke. It's a little obscure, don't you think?
It's a way of life. Colin Ray's going to eat innings for this team.
Innings are
sexy. How many innings do you think Colin Ray throws this year? Give me an exact number.
161.
I'm going to go 157.2.
That's really close to my prediction. I'm going to say 120 now to be different. Colin Ray threw 167.2 innings this year. So you were 10 off. I was a little closer and then backtracked, unfortunately. But you were very, very close to spot on with the number of innings Colin Ray threw this year. Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. I do want to – I'll briefly go through some of our as soon as I can find it again, the votes that we had for – we indicated who we thought would win all the various awards. So you had picked AL MVP Adley Rutschman, NL MVP Bryce Harper, but then you changed it to Corbin Carroll, even though I said he's going to have a sophomore slump. That did mostly come to pass. Corbin Carroll was very good at the end of the year. You thought Pablo Lopez for AL Cy Young, Logan Webb for NL Cy Young. That's where we talked about innings being sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Langford for AL Rookie of the Year. Jackson Chourio for NL Rookie of the Year. Not terrible.
My innings are sexy.
That's not going to catch on. My picks for AL MVP, Yordan Alvarez. NL MVP, Fernando Tatis Jr. I don't feel bad about that one. AL Cy Young, Luis Castillo didn't work out. NL Cy Young, Zach Gallen didn't work out. AL Rookie of the Year, Evan Carter definitely did not work out. NL Rookie of the Year, Jackson Merrill. I have a shot here. I have a shot at winning. You think Skeens is going to win, though?
You do have a shot. I think Paul Skeens is going to win it. I don't know.
I think Jackson Merrill is going to win. I think he's going to win. But we are going to find that out here in early November once this World Series is over. We'll have another podcast to talk about some of that stuff. And certainly, again, we got another one to go through some of the minor league stuff and look at some of the names that we think are going to impact the 2025 team, as well as we'll talk just a bunch about Jesus Mate, presumably. I think we're just going to spend a lot of time talking about Jesus Mate. Does that sound good to you?
Jesus made.
Anything else, Kurt, before I send you away?
No, I'm actually going to go run back to my laptop and start coming up with my predictions now.
Oh.
And start my research.
Hopefully none of them involve Jesse Winker. That was a real tough one.
Because what matters in life is being right.
Yes.
Dang it.
I don't think we even said this, but he predicted last year that Jesse Winker would be the top offensive player on the Brewers.
I did say that, yep.
It continues to bear fruit
this year. The good news is there's only uphill from there. Even the Aaron Ashby take was better than that.
Could you have predicted that not only will he not be the best player on the team, he will not be on the team the following year, and he will be hurting the Brewers in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Could you have envisioned any of that?
And fighting players in the parking lot.
Of course, well, or at least threatening to.
Threatening to. No. I would not have guessed that. Do you think Jesse Winker is going to sign here?
In the offseason?
Yeah.
No, sure don't. He actually maybe fits the bill to some degree, but not enough. All right. Well, thank you for listening to this special offseason edition of Microbrew. Again, we'll be back with you very soon, hopefully next week, with this little prospect look. And chat with you again very soon. Bye, everybody.